Well, hello there, wherever you're from, wherever you're at, whoever you are, listening on the other end. My name is Aaron Thomas. How Heaton is my traditional name. Just want to welcome you, each and every one of you. Now, Whelan, welcome to my podcast. I'm so grateful and thankful to have you here. It is a beautiful Friday afternoon here on the Great Lummi Nation. We've got several storm warnings happening here. I'm not too sure where you're at, but in terms of how it's been right here in Lummi Land, it's been amazing. Now, up here in the top left portion, top west portion of the great Washington state, we were all gearing up this week trying to figure out what we're going to do in case we had to hunker down for the next 2 or 3 days. You know, and they even had all kinds of different folks on Twitter talking about, you know, how do you get ready and how do you prep for the Stormageddon here in the Pacific Northwest. And looking at a lot of my friends and family that are living all around the Pacific Northwest, you can see once you get past south of Marysville on I-5, all the way down to the state line, Oregon and Washington State, pretty bad out there. I'm really kind of thankful that I'm not down there today and enjoying up here where it is cloudy. The wind is starting to pick up a little bit. It's about 3:40 in the afternoon, and yet not a lot of snow. We had lots of flaking in most parts of Lummi. If you went up to on Kagi Road, which is the middle of our reservation, you would see it goes a little bit higher elevation, and so they had about 3 or 4 inches up there, but below that, not a whole lot. And so, you know, tonight and the next couple of days, we're going to be getting a lot of wind over here, and 45, 50 mile per hour winds. And so thankful that I can actually get out of my house, get out of my family house that I'm living in, and be able to go and enjoy and do the things I need to do in Bellingham if I need to. So again, wherever you're at, the folks on Twitter are talking about bundling up, that the storm was on its way. And again, it depends on where you're at in the Pacific Northwest. I have family that live in Spokane that have said that they are starting to get inches of snow over there on east of the mountains. And so as we go along, we'll continue to mosey, continue to stroll on here on this wonderful podcast. And this is sort of a way for me to be able to, you know, talk about what's happening around me, around my world, and to talk a little bit about what affects all of us. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about in this edition is really talking about tax returns, because, you know, I'm just gonna go ahead and go onto Twitter, and you can actually look up tax returns and see what people are saying about their tax returns this year. Many of us, you know, we work for a living, we pay taxes. And by the way, for some of us that are not, understanding tribal people and the way that we are, Indian people do pay taxes. We pay our fair share of taxes, even though there's always this like misnomer out in the greater world about, hey, do they really pay taxes? And, you know, I've even had folks tell me, show me your tax returns. You know, I'm not the president. I'm going to show you my tax returns. I'll show you. I'll be more than happy to show you how much money the federal government gets out of me. And we're thankful here in the state of Washington that we're not in a state that, you know, forces us to pay state income tax. Like when I used to work in California, and, you know, a lot of my family and family members down there, they're paying the state tax, and that's sort of a double whammy. And I remember at one time, Lummi actually had a tribal tax placed on anybody that, you know, used to work for, or that worked for the tribe. They would have a 1% tribal tax taken out of their checks. So thankfully that's not what's happening today, but, you know, when the federal government, you know, Trump and a few others were like, hey, we want to, you know, revise the tax policy, there was all this back and forth about how they were going to do that. And of course, when the president was on his campaign trail, and I want to back up a little bit. I'm not here to bash Trump. This is not what this is about. I'm going to be as down the middle as I can, because I know some of my friends and family, and folks that I even work with, they really enjoy what's happening with President Trump. And of course, there's a lot of folks that don't. So he's probably one of the most, you know, political football that's out there that can go back and forth. So I'm not going to do that on this podcast. And, you know, I might slant a little bit to the negative on Trump, but I'm not going to bash him. I try to do the best I can not to do that anyways. But, and so when he was going along, he was like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to revise this tax policy. I'm going to do what I can to make sure that every American has as much money as they can in their returns. And so a lot of us were like, yay, you know, some of us are business owners. So some of us are investors in the stock market. So, okay, well, okay, I can buy that. That's something that we can do and be able to, you know, benefit from this new tax policy. Well, just did my first draft of my tax returns. And even though I have two businesses, I have a powwow communications public relations business and a childcare that has yet to really get off the ground because of some red ribbon that's sort of making it a little bit harder for me to be able to open in terms of, you know, some of the county and the state and the tribal regulations that just comes with owning a childcare facility. I sunk in about $6,500 in my childcare facility, for example, my childcare business. And you would think after a $6,400 hit on my new startup business, I would at least get, I don't know, $2,000 or $3,000 out of that back in taxes. Well, the grand total that I got from, anybody want to guess? You think it's maybe $500, $1,000? $31. 31 whole dollars against my personal taxes. That, again, it's how you structure the taxes, and I'm not going to go into that, but again, I set this up so that I can be able to take my expenses and match them against my personal taxes. In my personal taxes, I owed $750, so it did mark it down from $750 down to $31 in return, but again, it should be in the thousands. So I was really like, what the heck is happening here? And I'm looking on Twitter, and there's so many people that are reacting to their lack of a tax return. They are, you know, again, some students are like, you know, I was going to pay my student loans off of my taxes. Last year I got $6,000, and this year I'm only getting $500. I want you to, you know, respond to this. And in the next podcast, I'd like to invite you to be able to share with me your thoughts on, you know, exactly what you feel is happening in the tax return category, and invite you onto my show. You can actually come on, and I will put you on the next episode, which I hope to be able to push out in the next few days. I don't think I'm going to be a daily show, but again, this is your way of being able to kind of talk to somebody, kind of hear yourself on a podcast if that's what you'd like. And you can call me. And here's my phone number. I'm going to give it to you right now. It is 360. And again, before I give you my phone number, I just want to make sure you realize that you are giving the right for me to be able to share, you know, your voice, your likeness on my show. That's 360-391-8792. And I'll put it on the new Facebook page that I'm going to be putting together here. And you can call that number. Let me know what your thoughts are on your taxes this year, on how you feel you're going to be able to manage, knowing that most likely you're going to get less of a tax return than what you got last year. Okay? So again, I'll post this on my Facebook page. You guys can see it there and be able to share with us what your thoughts are on this new tax policy that we have. Whether you're for Trump or against Trump, the reality is that the tax breaks that have been given most likely are for the top 1% or top 10% of Americans. So again, that was one topic I wanted to talk to you a little bit about today. The second one, again, as we go along, I don't like to speak too much of politics. So I like to kind of, you know, spread the wealth, so to speak, in terms of other issues or things that are happening in my world. Maybe they affect yours. But a lot of it, you know, we're talking about the new keto diet that is sort of spreading all across the world, around the world, and people are, you know, trying to get into ketosis by eliminating or limiting their sugar and their carb intake. And so I'm interested in hearing from you. Again, if you're interested, I'll post the phone number for you to actually sound off on your thoughts on the keto or any other kind of diet that you're on. And I hate to use the word diet, not the way that I've been saying it on Facebook. It's a lifestyle. It's a ketosis lifestyle that I'm really have enjoyed in the last 30 days. And, you know, if you follow me on Facebook, you've seen some of my videos. And, you know, again, I it's all about meal prep when you're doing these kind of new lifestyle changes. If you don't go in to some kind of a into some kind of a new way of living, you're really going to be behind the eight ball. It's going to be something where you're just going to, you know, find yourself back in your old routines. And that's what I was doing. I really wasn't paying attention to what I should be eating. And I wasn't meal prepping. I wasn't looking at, you know, costs, and maybe I can get some of the stuff on Amazon and maybe it's cheaper at Walmart. And, you know, anytime you're doing any kind of a healthy lifestyle, it's going to cost you more. Let's just be real. I mean, I could literally live off of a Happy Meal every day, every meal if I wanted to, and spend $15 a day on food. And unfortunately for some of our people, especially Indian people who are very not wealthy, financially wealthy, or even stable in their finances, are finding themselves going to fast food quite a bit, especially if they've got five or six mouths to feed. Grandma's, you know, not taking care of just not herself, but, you know, her grandkids. And so it's really easy to, and it's a lot faster to just go through the drive-thru and pick up, you know, some burgers and fries. And, you know, what I was noticing with myself and, you know, again, I was working with kids at the time, and I would go to work at 7:30 in the morning, and, you know, I'd have about 6 or 7 hours of sleep before I went to work. So, okay, I'm good there. I had coffee in my hand. But by 2 o'clock, I was exhausted. I would literally come back to the family house where I live here and pass out. And I would think to myself, why am I so tired? Why do I have to take, and I used to call it my old mad nap. I made it normal. It was like a normalized thing for me to, and I was, you know, telling my family and my friends, yeah, I just got done with my old mad nap. And they're like, wow, you get to take a nap? And they're kind of jealous. And I was like, yeah, I get to take a nap because I'm done at 2:30, like the kids, you know, they're done. I get to come home and take a nap for an hour. Well, what I've been noticing is that my sleep patterns were off. I got this Fitbit as a gift, and it keeps track of your sleep. And it talks about, you know, it's really kind of creepy because it shows you, you know, what types of sleep you're getting. Are you getting light sleep? Are you in REM? Are you in heavy sleep or deep sleep? Are you awake even? And even though, you know, I was going to bed at a decent hour, 9 o'clock at night, and I'd get up at 5, I'm thinking I'm getting 8 hours of sleep. The Fitbit was saying, no, buddy, you're only getting 6 hours of sleep. And two of those hours that you thought you were asleep, you were awake. I'm like, how does it know I'm awake? And really what it's doing is it's tracking your pulse, and it's trying to see, hey, you know, what kind of, when your pulse beats per minute goes way down, then in theory you're in sleep. And when it's up and it's, you know, you're awake and your beats are going quick, then most likely you're awake. So I was thinking, this isn't right. And that, of course, you know, then there's the body image stuff, and you're looking in the mirror and you're like, wow, I gained quite a bit. But the real, like, the straw that broke the camel's back for me was when I went to shop. I want to go up to Canada quite a bit because the dollar, the exchange rate is so better. It's a really good advantage for the US dollar compared to the Canadian dollar. So it's like 30%. Everything's like 30% off. You bring US dollars up there, you're going to get a 30% break on everything you buy, from a stick of gum to a new TV. And so I was like, I'm going to go up and get some new clothes. You know, I'm getting a new job and going to go work for Stillaguamish. And then, you know, I want to kind of look more presentable, more professional. And I go up there and I'm like, you know, oh, I love this shirt. I love that shirt. These are all button-ups. And the guy was like, okay, let me take your measurements. And he measures my chest. He measures my waist. And then he measures my neck. And he's like, we can't sell you any of our shirts. I'm like, why? He's like, because you need to go to a big and tall store. And that floored me. I was like, say what? I've always been the scrawny kid. If all my family knows, I was the one that, you know, the little toothpick with the big head. That was me all my life. And to hear a professional tell me that they have nothing to sell me, that my money was not going to be good there for them, you know, that to me was really depressing. And I could have easily, you know, kind of threw my thumb at him and, you know, got mad and just, you know, go take it out on, you know, on myself with a bunch of ice cream and go to Cold Stone and just wallow in my depression. Instead, I decided to do something about it. I decided that enough was enough, and I knew it. We all know what we eat. We're not stupid. We all know, you know, we kind of laugh about it because, you know, you say, well, I love food. So what if you love food? This isn't about you so much and what you like. It's what your body likes. It's what your body craves. And sometimes we have to tell our bodies enough's enough. Sometimes we have to take a stand. And I don't know how long I'm going to be in this keto lifestyle, but I just know that in the 30 days I've been doing this, it's been amazing. It's been something that I literally have way more energy. According to my Fitbit, all the good numbers are going up in my sleep. I do wake up. On some occasions, I wake up still kind of tired, like I was enjoying the sleep too much, which is interesting because I usually cannot stay in bed for too long after I wake up. However, you know, again, it just took that transition, and really the cost of a new diet or a new lifestyle really is, of course, the money. It usually costs more money than what you were, you know, buying groceries before in. But the second thing is just the toll it takes on your body. When you're literally, you know, feeding your body a certain substance for a while, it gets used to it. And it says, hey, I like that. I like sugar. I need sugar, so go get me sugar. Or, hey, I like carbs. I love those Doritos. And you're craving Doritos at 9:30 at night while you're watching Grey's Anatomy, you know, on demand. And you're like, I'm going to go get that. I'm going to go grab that big bag of Doritos and I'm going to eat the whole damn thing. And you do, you know. Then when you tell your body, no, you're not going to have that anymore. When you start to take control of that and you start to substitute, because one of the laws of the universe is whatever you take off, you can't just not fill in the gap. It has to be filled in with something. So you fill it with more substances that will serve you rather than substances that will not serve you. And so water serves us. You know, any kind of high saturated fat, fatty foods will serve you in the long run, according to so many, you know, tests and research that have been out there since the 1950s, where, you know, if you ever get a chance, go to Netflix and watch the movie The Magic Pill. That will explain as much as I can. I'm not going to do it here on this podcast. Watch that movie, and I want you to actually give me another voice recording, you know, of what you thought of the movie and how you think that it can benefit you, or how you think it'll benefit any autistic family members that you might have. Watch it. And let me know how it is. I'll put you on my podcast, and we'll talk about it. But continue on, you know, this whole ketosis lifestyle has been really, really good for me, and I'm really thankful for it. And so the last part of this podcast I want to talk about, of course, is sports. We have so many of us that enjoy watching sports, and those of you that know me know I'm a big, big Seahawk fan. I'm an OK Mariners fan. And so 90% of what I'm going to most likely be talking about is the NFL, just because I know it really well. I like to watch it. I like to keep up with it. And so, again, I'm going to go into Twitter and take a look at what's happening in the NFL today. But one of the big things that's happening in the Seahawks is, especially on Seahawks Twitter, is the fact that today on Friday is the cap day. You know, basically some of the bonuses that were given, you know, and put in some certain members of our team's contracts are due today. And one of the most controversial ones, of course, is Cam Chancellor. And Cam Chancellor, of course, you guys know, and I used to call him Godzilla because the guy was just like 30% bigger than everybody else on the field. And he just can hit hard. He's just really was a really smart linebacker slash safety slash free safety. And so, you know, he was a very awesome hybrid of a player. Anyway, he got injured last year and not this last year, but two seasons ago, and couldn't play at all this last in campaign. Anyway, he was owed a guaranteed money, $5.2 million. And people are like, man, how can we give him this money when he didn't play a down in 2018 and he's not going to play a down in 2019? So why are we giving him this money? Well, there's no loopholes for it, number one. The team normally does that. When they are re-signing a player, they normally give a more player-friendly contract, which means the team might suffer for it if in case something happened to the player. And that's what happened with Cam Chancellor. He was literally at the top of his game. We extended him for a three-year period through 2019. And unfortunately, in 2017, the first year of his three-year deal, he got injured. And we'll never be able to play the game again, which is really a shame at the end of the day, more than anything, than the money and the cap savings and all that. And let me back up a little bit for those of you that don't understand what I mean by cap. Every single team in the NFL plays by and has to gets to spend this cap, this number, this amount of money that they get to spend. They all get the same amount of pie to eat. And depending on how you slice that pie up is the way that every team, some teams spend $30 million of that $158 million or whatever the cap number is on a quarterback. And then so that cuts it down to $124 million left. And so you just, you know, slice it out. And $5.2 million out of $158 million isn't a lot of money. It's not a big percentage of the pie. It is if you're literally depending on that $5.2 million like the Seahawks could be doing. You know, they could be using that $5.2 million to spread out and maybe, acquire the services of a really good left tackle or a really good fullback or another defensive end that maybe is on the rise. We could use that $5.2 million to really benefit the entire team. So instead, you know, today, Cam Chancellor was owed $5.2 million and the team's giving it to him and they have to. This isn't something that is negotiable. This was part of the contract that the player-friendly contract that the Seahawks signed. And so today they're doing that. And I was told, again, when I was looking at, and I want to give thanks to the fieldgoals.com crew. These guys, I used to know some of the contributors of that, and I still know some of the guys. They're just not contributing to that website. But if you ever want a good website to follow the Seahawks throughout this off season, go to Field Gulls, like Seagull, fieldgulls.com. And Field Gulls, there you'll see all kinds of really good information about the Seahawks, you know, what they're doing, some rumors, things that are happening, you know, around the team. And not only that, but also what is happening with the league, you know, the NFL. And, you know, they like to keep track of what's happening. And as you go along, you just sort of follow and you get to see, you know, transactions and what the Seahawks could be thinking about doing. Like today, they had a really good discussion about one of the upcoming, the draft is coming up in April, and the next big thing that's happening in the NFL is going to be the scouting combine, which is in March, and it's going to happen in Indianapolis. And what happens is they invite the probably top 5% of all college players to come and enjoy and they get to measure them. They get to, you know, show them, you know, watch them throw, you know, various passes or make them run a 40-yard dash. And it's just a whole weekend of measurements. And that gives scouts the opportunity to be able to say, hey, this person, this player might be really good for us, or that player might be really good for us, you know? And so go to fieldgoals.com. That's a really good, great opportunity for you to see what's happening. And again, they're not paying me to say this. This isn't something that I get to enjoy any kind of benefit from it. But I know one of the big things that they're talking about with the Seahawks is really talking about this quarterback that's coming out of the University of Oklahoma, and his last name is Murray. Kyler Murray is another kind of a recreation of Russell Wilson. And they're trying to say, you know, let's kind of start that rumor because it's going to happen. We might as well start it. You know, that Kyler Murray is one of the players that Seattle could be looking at to draft with the number 21 overall draft pick this year. And, you know, the kid is like, and that's kind of funny to hear me say kid, because I'm 42 now, and I think he's like 22 or 23 years old. So he is a kid, I guess. And yeah, he's just an amazing athlete. He has that, remember that same fast quickness that Russell Wilson had when he first came out into the league, and he could literally just, you know, separate himself from almost anybody that was chasing him. And hasn't been that way in the last few years, but this Murray kid can do that. He's that fast. His accuracy is really done really well, and he actually won the Heisman Trophy this last year. But people keep saying he's too small. He's actually shorter than Russell Wilson was when he came out. And so it's interesting. The whole thing is just, it's fascinating to watch this journey of some of the players go through. And I wish Kyler Murray all the best. They're talking about him going number 13 overall to Miami Dolphins, who possibly need a quarterback. And so other players that are up for a bonus this year that they're getting today is, you know, Dwayne Brown, the left tackle, Bradley McDougal, the safety, and Tyler Lockett, the wide receiver. These guys are all getting their bonuses today, and that's all in there. I think they're all much well deserved. They all three of those guys did really well this year, and you know, we totally thank them for doing that. But anyway, it's a great opportunity for us to talk about the Seahawks as much as I can at the very end of the show. So wherever you're at, I hope that you're staying warm. For those of you that live here in Whatcom County, make sure in the Ferndale area to get your ballots in by Tuesday, February 12th for the 2019 bond. We're trying to raise money for a brand new high school for Ferndale. That's where I went to school. That's my alma mater, Ferndale Golden Eagles. So I'm going to just go ahead and sign off here. I thank you so much for listening this very first podcast here. I don't know when I'm going to be doing them, but again, give me a call. Let me know your thoughts on the taxes. Let me know your thoughts on the ketosis or any other kind of lifestyle that you're healthy health kick that you're trying to do. And, you know, I just would love to thank and hear from all of you. I love being able to respond to you. So, but I want to hear you. I don't want to just see your texts, you know, just your posts. I might be putting some of your posts on my actual audio podcast, but hope to hear from you soon. Wherever you're at, God bless you. Take good care of you. If you've got kids, please make sure you give them extra love today to tell them that you love them, okay? Take care, guys.